In Luke chapter 12, verse number 15, the Lord Jesus dealing here with the disciples, those about the Pharisees, Sadducees, and such, he says unto them in chapter 12 of Luke, verse number 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. And covetousness has to do with me wanting something in particular that you have. Okay, so like me wanting Brother Mark's blue shirt really looks good, and it would, I think it might fit me, Brother Mark. You might be a little bit more trim than me, but I think it might fit. And so I want his, not to go out and buy my own. There's an aspect of that about where we want to be like somebody else that we have to watch out for. But I want that shirt. And so I'll wait for him to take a trip somewhere and then go over there and by hook and crook look to get in his house, get in his closet, and find out he took it with him on the trip. No, but I would go, I would do things sinful and wicked against the Lord to get that shirt. That's one aspect of covetousness. Another aspect of covetousness is related to greed, to hoard up. I want to take and save it all to myself. And so the Lord is warning them, beware of that. Beware of the aspects of covetousness, to want what is another's. And when we take a look at the law, the Ten Commandments, it specifically speaks, which I think is the highest and the worst of that subject, all things that come down from that, is wanting somebody else's thing that they've got. That's the worst, to where we would go and by hook and crook and deceit look to get that from them. Okay. And then he makes this statement, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So the stuff of life, we all know that we need it, don't we? I mean, we all know we need the stuff of life. And so that is a reality. But the Lord says, watch out for coveting that, to where that is all of your life, where that is all of your focus, that the stuff of life is the reason you live. And there's really nothing else that enters into life but the stuff of life, what I can get, what I can consume, what I can enjoy. He says, watch out for that. Because that's what life is not about. Our lives before the Lord, he's not looking at the inventory list and making a judgment about our lives as to whether we've done well or not. The Lord, he doesn't look at it that way. He knows we need stuff, and we know we need stuff, but that's not what our life consists of, okay? Whether it be abundance, as he's mentioned here, a man's life is not judged before me, I believe we can say and understand where the Lord is coming from and what he's instructing us. I don't look at it that way. You've got a little bit, I don't look at you as little. You've got a whole bunch, I don't look at you as great. Because we know our Lord is not a respecter of persons, which we'll touch on that in time in these messages. A man's life doesn't consist in the abundance, the whole lot, or the whole little of the things that he owns. Because really, if we really get down to it and understand it, we really don't own much. We've got it loaned. It's loaned to us for a time. But when we leave, it stays. And we'll touch on that also in the course of messages. So in the stuff of life, we do need it. In 1 John chapter 2, we have a warning here along this same line. And let us may the Lord help us that these things sink down in our hearts. Yeah, we've got a challenge. It is a challenge We need the stuff of life, but we need to really understand what life, how life is estimated before the Lord. And to understand how life is estimated, how life is weighed, how life is evaluated before the Lord will do us well as we live. Because if we get our focus wrong, you know what we're doing when we get our focus wrong? We're wasting time. Because we've only got so much time. And if we've got the focus wrong, as the minutes, the hours, the days, the weeks, the months, the years tick away, we've wasted that time of our life. And then we will come before our Lord and indeed give account. The stuff of life, we need it. But listen to what the scripture says in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now we know that love is something that, especially we as the children of God, are to have. It's been shed abroad in our hearts, the love of God has, and we are to express it and to others. That's the design, as we'll see, and it'll be reaffirmed unto us. But maybe you've got a hobby, and most of us do. We've got things that we like, that we enjoy. And do you really love that thing? Be careful about that. Be careful about that. I personally, I'm not saying you've got to be like me, but when this was brought to a greater, to my greater attention, I have looked to try to refrain about careless use of the word love. I really love cheese. Listen, that's a waste of time to waste love on cheese. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I really, really like cheese, especially on a chili dog, right? On pizza. Cheese is very enjoyable, but to say that I love cheese, if we say that we love cheese, we're really cheapening what love is. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the things. Yeah, we've got to use them. We need them. But don't love them. If any man love the world and the things in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so is our bent, is our focus on our doing of things in the world? For all that is in the world, verse 16, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the desire of the body. If you have a hobby, you enjoy doing that hobby. You enjoy the performance of that hobby, and you will do that hobby with your body. Whether it be crochet, quilt making, golfing, tennis, building things, doing things. I mean, we do that with our person. But if we say that if we are just driven to that as the whole of our life, the love of the Father is not in us. We're not exhibiting the love of the Father in us. Is it wrong to do those things? By no means. By no means. It's not wrong to enjoy those things. To be about business and to be about doing things, to enjoy or to create, those are good things to do. It's not a good time to do them on Sunday, is it? On the Lord's Day, see? And so there, a good thing can be turned into something sinful if we misappropriate it, put it on the wrong time, put it ahead of other priorities that are at hand. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's what our body, we want to do with our bodies, the lust of the eyes, what we see, what we look in the catalogs, we look at other things that we would desire. The lust of the eyes, as is mentioned there in Exodus chapter 20, about that of covetousness last, is really the root of all sins. We want something else. The eyes is where that starts. We talked about, spoke about recently, about the eye gate and the ear gate. The pride of life, where I can accomplish. I can do. I have the wherewithal to do and to pursue. And that makes me feel good. Well, accomplishment is not bad. And the feeling that accomplishment gives us is not bad. But when we think that it's all contained in us and it's not totally separated from what the Lord, what the ability of the Father, what God, what our Savior has given unto us, then the pride of living life can overtake us and we can really become fools in thinking how we go forward and how we move and how we do. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's the way the world thinks. That's the way the world operates. You and I, we need to remember this in verse 17. The world and the things in the world and the things that we do in the world for enjoyment, for ourselves, even to some extent for our families, the world passeth away. It's going to go away. And so what's our grip? Brother Stephen talked about this recently when he preached. What's our grip on the world? Is it tight, white knuckle? Or is it loose? As the scriptures tells us that we use the things of life and of the world for necessary uses, not abusing. The world passeth away, and the desire that goes along with that, the lust thereof, it passeth away too. But he that doeth the will of God abideth ever. So the will of God is here and given unto us, and we need to remember this, verse 17. We need to remember all of this, but we need to remember that the world and the things of the world, they're going to pass away. And how much stake are we putting in them? And is love misappropriated in them? Of course, the stuff of life, we need it. Jesus, as he instructs us in Matthew 6, Brother Stevens touched on it recently, he tells us in our way of praying and the things that are necessary to pray for, give us this day our daily bread. We need daily bread. It's not that we don't think about daily bread. We need to be able to eat. The Lord knows that. In that same chapter, in Matthew chapter 6, there, the Sermon on the Mount, in verse number 25, the Lord says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" Is the Lord saying, just don't think about those things. And if you need them, that'll be set in front of you. We've got to go to the fridge, don't we? And need to go to the store. That's got to be. That's part of how we get it there. When your wife is away and having to travel to go do something or whatever afar, listen, stuff won't show up on the table by itself. I can guarantee you that. You got to go put it together yourself. And as my dad says, he says, it's kind of like the bank. You got to put something in that fridge for there to be something there to eat. He's been saying that recently. Is the Lord saying, don't go to the grocery store and don't plant a garden and don't go to the farmer's market? And he's not saying that. He's not saying that only take it and use it if it just miraculously shows up in front of you. No, he's not saying that. But don't let that be the whole stake of your life. Don't let that be all that there is about life. Eating, drinking, and clothes to wear. And we need to wear clothes, don't we? We need to cover up. But that doesn't, the food that we eat and the things that we drink and the clothes that we put on, life is more than that. Verse 30 of Matthew 6, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Indeed he will. He will. He's promised he will. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Is the Lord saying, don't ever ask about where we're going to go out to eat? Is that what the Lord's saying? No. He said, do not be in a fret about it. Don't let it consume your life. Don't have one meal that you just partook of and ate, and then be starting to think about the other with desperation. You hear me joke at times that, and I'm noted for eating fast. And so I say in that jokingly, well, I learned a long time ago, eat it like you stole it. Well, probably in the end, that's really not a good thing to say or a good attitude to have. But we can have that, can't we? That's all that there is. And we worry so. And as children, sometimes children, we've had that here recently. We just ate and had a big old meal, blessed with that and everything. And then the vehicle, the child's asking for another place to go eat. That's being a child. The Lord says in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But what are we as the children of God to do? Verse 33, this is first on our list, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek that first. Do you have to eat? Yes. Do you need to have clothes to put on? Yes. Will we have to go shop for those, or somebody in our family go looking for those and buy those and find the best deal for those, or what's pleasing and right and honoring to the Lord? Yes. But don't let that be the frontline part of your life. Don't let that be the way that we would appear before one another, to be the total, all-engrossing, all-encompassing point of life is how I look before you. And I don't need to wear my work clothes today. Sometimes I wear my work clothes, wear them to mom and dad's, and then I get caught and I have to go to town. I'll go ahead and go to town. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that we need in life will be added unto us. All these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Do we find ourselves worrying about tomorrow? Tomorrow, the next day? What about next week? Will we have enough in a month? Will it be okay in a quarter? Is there enough store at hand? And if we see that there's something coming up that is a threat or detrimental, you know, we had this toilet paper shortage, you know, I'm just, you know, and it's just, I've got an opinion about that. I mean, and everybody wants to have toilet paper. And so if you're running out of toilet paper, what do you got to do? You got to go to more stores to find toilet paper if you need toilet paper, for example. But all of life is not about toilet paper, is it? To be so mind-shattered about not having something, do we need to prepare? Sure. If we see a threat coming, do we prepare or stock up? Sure. Live today. Because what's he say? Sufficient for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, as the children of God, it's in us to live. But do we not rest in our Lord about our lives? You know, I mean, I want to live. I want to be with my wife and my children, my grandchildren and you, my parents, my family. But if the Lord wants to take me home Tuesday, even as his child, who am I to say Tuesday's not the right day? Is that my place to say that? No, he knows what's best. And I want to live. And I want to see my Savior face to face, don't you? So live today. Live today. And don't let the needs and the necessity of things and days to come be the whole focus and spearhead of life to where you cannot live today. In this same chapter, coming a little bit earlier in Matthew 6, verse 19, the Lord says, "Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal." Get a real focus on what's going on here on this earth compared to what's going on in the ability of our Lord in heaven. Lay up treasure here. It's going to be challenged by thieves. It's going to be challenged by corruption. It's going to be, if all of our stake is in the stuff of life, we're going to have to work for every single piece to keep it from going back to the ground. Now, do we need to mow our grass? Yeah. Need to weed eat? Yeah. Need to have knives to use in the kitchen? Yeah. Need to have tools? Well, of course we need to have tools. You know that, right? The thing is if that is all of our life, again, we're missing out on living today. And if we just let ourselves be tore up about that and that alone. And I'm going to mention here, the scripture tells us about stewardship is a real responsibility. It is a real responsibility. But again, watch out about where we put our heart. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Don't lay up treasure on earth. Lay up treasure in heaven. As the Lord's saying, don't have a savings account. So if the fridge goes out, you can go buy one and not have to get a loan on one. No, he's not saying that. Good stewardship says to plan for those, but don't let that be the all-engrossing, all-encompassing point of life, is to just stock that up and ward against anything that will blow up and fall apart. Because why? We are not living today when we do that. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. You know, isn't it so? In investing, consider the investment. Consider the investment of the things of this world. How long will they last? Your lifetime. That's it. But eternal things, how long do they last? Your lifetime and eternity. We need to have right estimation of our investment. Correct estimation of our investment. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, verse 20, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Here's the portion of this passage that we need to remember. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is my heart on my tools? You know that's my weakness. Is my heart on my tools? Or is my heart on the heavenly? And listen, the heavenly can be defined. We're going to look to do that. Look to the scriptures for that to be defined. Is my heart on the stuff? It's going to pass away. It's an ever consuming challenge to keep it from going back down to the earth, rusting and corrupting and staying in your shed and your building and your toolbox. Or the heavenly. Where the treasure that's laid up in the heavenly, no rust, no moths, perfect accounting, nothing ever gets messed up, and it is there eternally. What is our focus? Again, I mentioned stewardship is indeed a real responsibility. We take a look at this passage in Luke chapter 12, and the Lord talks about this, speaks about this in regards to stewardship. And listen to what he says in verse number 48 of Luke 12. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. So there is this principle that the Lord tells us in the spiritual and in the physical, that if you've been given a lot, have been given a lot of talent, you're going to be responsible for how you use that talent. Have you been given stuff, going to be responsible how you use that stuff. Been given less, not going to be as responsible as one that has been given much, but will be responsible. All are responsible. Been given opportunity. Been given knowledge. Some people just don't know. But you know, we, those of us who do know, are responsible for what we have been shown, what we have been told. We would be tempted to say, I understand this. I've been this. I remember a time when my pastor, he would preach about this kind of subject and related. And I said, how much does he want me to give? How much? He just won't quit. He just keeps on going, that there's no end to it. That's right. Our Lord Jesus has saved us from hell, saved us from our sins, saved us from Satan and the way of the world. And he's done that by his love and by his grace and by his mercy. Paid a price for us that we could never even touch. What is the unreasonable point of what he would require of us? You've heard me say it before. Jesus doesn't want much. He just wants everything of you. That's all. And that's what he's got coming. He wants everything of you and me. And he's worthy of it too. He's worthy of it. If we've been given much, in whatever realm, whatever respect, much is required of us. So we need to be a good steward of that which we've been given, not only in stuff, but in talent, in knowledge, in opportunity, in ability. It's one thing to know and not do. It's another thing not to know. Because some would say, the point I was looking to make, well, that all sounds good and pie in the sky, but me, I just can't go that far. Listen, if you've heard it from the Lord, you can. And a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God, if the truth has been brought to us, listen, it has been brought to us, and it is not more than we can bear. And the Lord in verse number 48, the Lord doesn't do anything that men don't do. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. Our temptation is to do very, very well, and we should, at our jobs and our work. It was asked by a brother years and years ago, what if we as the children of God would commit ourselves to the work and the way of God the way we do our jobs? That was very condemning to me. That's just me personally. What if we committed ourselves to the work of God and the will of God the way we do to our earthly work? It's the way that it works. Been given a lot, stuff, knowledge, opportunity, truth. Stewardship is a real thing. In Proverbs chapter 27, verses 23 and 24, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. And I'm glad we don't have flocks and herds. We may come to a time that we might wish we had some flocks and herds, but that's what the Solomon declared and the wisdom of the Lord declared. You got stuff, you got to take care of it. But don't let it be all your life, because remember what Jesus says, your life doesn't consist of the stuff that you possess, whether it be great or whether it be little. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation? But there's a warning regarding riches. In Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5, our Lord tells us flatly, labor not to be rich. I remember a fellow that I met when I was in my early 20s, and his goal was to be a millionaire by the time he was 30. And you know what he did? He took his health and he ran it in the ground. He ran his health in the ground. He did not know his children. He just worked and worked and worked. And I watched him for those few short years that I was around him as he was heading towards 30, that he was just withering away. I don't know whatever became of him, but he would work all day at a job and then run the roads at night from St. Louis over there to East Central Illinois, hauling different things that he would buy over there to sell and move over in that part of the world, and just worked himself, work all weekend, work, 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 work. Now, granted, there have been times in the history of all of our families when times have been tough and things have been hard, and there wasn't enough provision, and our forebears had to work multiple jobs just to keep the family fed. Is it talking about that? No. Because we've got to do what we've got to do to sustain. But you know what? We don't have to do what we have to do to have the extras of life and make ourselves devoid of the way and the work of the Lord doing. Sometimes taking care of the necessities and doing away with the extras for the sake of the time that we need to do the Lord's work might be what we have to do. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Things can happen in such a moment. And if that's all the stock of our life, we've got to be good stewards. I tell you, we're in a paradox in a lot of things, aren't we? We are. But the Lord has told us that up front, and he's told us that he'll help us. And we need to put things in their right place. Be good stewards. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 19, even in the New Testament, we are told about these things. Charge them that are rich in this world. Let me tell you this, that applies to everybody in the house. I tell you, I heard something here. I've shared it with you before. I'll share it with you again months ago. Somebody made this point that you and I that live in these United States, no matter what our economic situation is, if we go back 150 years and then consider all the kings, the wealthy, and the most powerful of the world going all the way back as far as we understand about time in regards to health and medicine, in regards to availability of food and the diversity of the kind of food that is available, in regards to clothing and the ease of getting clothing, temperature control in our buildings and our dwellings, the kings of the earth would marvel at what even the common person, if you will, if you'll allow that, any person in the United States has today. So this applies to us all. By world standards, we are all rich. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Don't let that wealth go to your head. Nor trust in uncertain riches, because we've read in Proverbs what can happen to it. But trust in the living God today. Trust in the living God and what he has said. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So they are his blessings. And we are given them by God. They are given to us by God to enjoy. But let us do good. Let us be rich in good works. ready to distribute, willing to communicate. We're beginning to have a hint here about what is important in life. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Again, this is all of us in this country. And this is the charge of our Lord, even in these New Testament times. Do not trust in uncertain riches, but use them well for the sake of the Lord. Laying up treasure in heaven with the stuff, in regards to that side of it. But that will be directed, laying up this treasure, doing so directed toward our Lord and people. Using this that He's given us for the necessity that we have for ourselves and our families, and also to take and direct it toward our Lord and use it in His will and the people in our lives. Relationships. Relationships is the key. Take heed and beware of covetousness, we read there in Luke 12:15. For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So, if a man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of the things he's got, what does it consist of? If it's not the stuff, then what is it? What do our lives consist of? Relationships. That's what it consists of. You think, and we're going to take time to go in this in coming messages, but you take time and you think, you meditate upon what the Lord has given us to do as mankind. You know what He says? He says, have a relationship with Me. That's what He says. Well, we'll go down, Lord willing, next time we'll go all down through the list of how the Lord is speaking and the things that He's doing, even at the creation, that He's setting things up, that it might be understood by you and me, that and our Father Adam and all the way down, that we are to have a relationship with Him. He doesn't look to have a relationship with the birds or the cats or the dogs or the cows. But His design is to have a relationship with us. What does a man's life consist of? Does it consist of his stuff? The Lord says no. So then what does it consist of? Well, relationship with God and a relationship with one another. Just quickly, as we would consider the Ten Commandments, what do they tell us? God says, do right by Me. Do right and you're looking on at Me. He tells Israel, love Me. And the Lord is not having any kind of a crisis, affection crisis or anything. It's just the way that it is. What Brother Doug's bringing out about God and connected with His attributes and the Trinity and that. He is God and we are His creation. And that's what we've been designed to do, is to love Him and glorify Him, to fellowship with Him. And you know what else is connected to that? Four commandments in our relationship with Him and six commandments in our relationship with one another. On every level, every person, every one. Well, let's conclude this for today. And you're going to hear this over and over again. But I pray the Lord will help us with it. A man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things that he possesseth. At times in our services, you've heard me say and challenge all present that when it comes to death's door, religion will not help any of us. And that's true. Religion will leave us cold. It'll leave the person cold because it has no power to do anything for anyone. Religion will not. Only the Savior with the power to save souls, forgive us of our sins, and the power to raise Himself from the dead. Only the Savior with the power to defeat death and the grave can carry us across the valley of the shadow of death from this life into glory to be with Him. Him. That's a relationship, isn't it? And that's the relationship that each and every one of us needs. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, just like it is with religion, so it is with the stuff of life. It will not come or go to you and me when it's time to die. It will not come and sit with us as we come near unto death. The stuff of life will not come to our funeral. Won't do it. The stuff of life, like religion, will leave us cold because that is all it can do. It has no life. It has no eternity. At death, only our relationships will be that which matters most to us. The folks we love and that love us. The folks we have touched and have touched us. The folks for which we have cared and have cared for us. They are the ones that will be there, not the stuff. The stuff won't be there, but the folks, the people will be there. Starting with our Lord Jesus Christ. With salvation, we have promises, and we have the Savior himself and all that he's promised up, what God has promised to those that he has saved, is he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's the first relationship right there. Starting with our Lord Jesus Christ, if you have him as your Savior and he has you, this is the relationship that matters most. Then after that will be the relationships with everyone else and having them right by God's standards, thereby pleasing and glorifying him in them. You hear that? Having a relationship with our Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance of sins and faith in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be there for us. He'll be there for us. He'll be there for us as we go and we walk and we live through life, and as when we come to the end of this life, he will be there. The stuff won't show up. And then also is our relationship. Remember those latter six commandments? Our relationship with one another. Glorifying God and our relationships with one another. Those will be there. I heard a sad thing this past week. A family member died. And so another family member attended the funeral. And this family member had been estranged from this other one. Okay, so one died and two came to the funeral. They had been estranged for years. The one that remained, number two, looked around and said, I had no idea that they touched so many people's lives. There were tens, maybe even 100 people at the funeral. And this one, number two, the one that remained, the loved one that remained, the family that remained said, at my funeral, I would only expect about 4 people to show up. And I had no idea that this one here, my loved one, who I did not do well by, who we were estranged from one another for reasons now that don't even matter, I had no idea that they had touched so many lives. I'm just amazed that so many people came. Now, isn't that a sad thing? But that's what matters in our lives. That's what our lives consist of. Not the stuff, but relationships. Relationships with our Lord, and relationships by our Lord with one another. Those are the things that'll last. May God help us. Again, if you're here and you're not saved, you need that first relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And may the Lord help us as his children in those relationships he's called us into.